of Mr. Trout playing some guitar there for you. Hey, welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in to Talk Real Estate. So right before the break, I told you that, you know, there creates opportunity. And our prices, our spiraling prices, creating some opportunity in some areas that previously would be overlooked. And generally, they're in towns that are a little bit economically depressed. I think I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, you know, one of the ways to tell is if the kids are moving out of town right after they graduate from high school, it doesn't show that there's an awful lot of opportunity there, you know. So in some of those areas, now granted, you know, some of those areas, you know, throughout the country are in places like Cleveland and New Orleans, Albany, New York, Memphis, Tennessee. Anchorage, Alaska was kind of a surprise on there, and an area in Colorado called Aurora, Colorado. But apparently these are some places where there's some they've got, even went so far as to do charts and percentages of what percentage of the median price point fixer type homes are selling for. And so some of those people, you know, 70% of the people that are looking for fixers want to spend somewhere between, you know, $50,000 to $70,000 fixing them up, and you know, 10% of the people that want to do the fixers want to spend, you know, $90,000 or more doing the fix up. So, but with that, that means that you really have to have some money. It's pretty hard to do that if you don't have money. It's real hard to buy a zero down fixer, and even with the improvement loans, the home improvement loans, there's some that allow, you know, a small percentage for, you know, carpet or paint or, you know, fixing a bathroom that needs to be fixed before it can be financed, those sort of things. So there are some VA, FHA loans out there that are, you know, home improvement loans. But you generally, to buy a fixer, need to have a little bit of money. If you got enough money to secure the loan, that's great. But where's the money going to come from to do the improvements that need to be done? And, you know, hopefully you have that. So, you know, like in Memphis, Tennessee, for instance, you know, fixtures sell for about 50% less than, you know, than the median price point. Well, that's a substantial drop. So if, you know, let's just say for discussion's sake that it's a $400,000 neighborhood and you got a ability to buy a fixer for $200,000, that means that you could throw $100,000 into it and still be placed well in the market. If you were in an area like Los Angeles, where the difference between a fixer and a non-fixer is 1.6%, it's going to be pretty difficult to not overprice yourself for the market. And that's the game in dealing with fixers is, you know, you have to really take how much you're going to be in, whether there's a profit component in there or not. You know, it sort of used to be one-third, one-third, one-third. You know, I'll buy it for a third, I'll spend a third, and then a third will be profit when I sell it. But you know, now it's, you know, obviously the margins are much thinner, but you sort of need to work it back to front. So if this were on the property, if this property were on the market today, what would it be worth? What's it going to cost me to sell it? And so that's sort of your top number. And then how much does it need as far as dollar and time to be able to do the improvements in it? And then I can't really pay more than this for the deal, because if the same neighborhood, if you went in and you paid $300,000 for the $400,000 neighborhood and you spent $125,000 fixing it up, well, now you're into a $400,000 neighborhood at $425,000. Is the market going to support that extra amount of money? And when you look at it as the opportunity cost, it took you a lot of your own money to make that happen. You weren't able to use finance money or use somebody else's money to make that happen. Was that a good use of your money and your time? And that's the way that most people make that decision. So when they're going into these areas and looking at fixers, you need to always be mindful of the fact that, you know, number one, right off the top, is it financeable? And if it's not financeable, what is it going to take to get it to the point that it could be financed? And at that point in time, what would it be worth? Historically, properties that are not financeable generally support a lower price in a given neighborhood. And you know, here many years ago, we don't have many of them anymore, but because Bend is so arid, the high desert is so arid, there were a number of homes here built by mill workers and that sort of thing that were on rock foundations. And basically what they do is they gather up some big lava rocks and pour around a foundation and then put their boards on top of that. And I mean, some of those houses lasted 100 years without, you know, dry rotten problems because the wood wasn't actually right on the ground. But then, you know, years later, when it came to guidelines of traditional financing, one of the things was they needed to have a perimeter foundation. So there were people there for, gosh, I don't know when this was, maybe the late 80s, mid 80s. There were people that were actually going around on the, particularly on the west side of Bend here, and buying those houses that were on rock foundations, lifting them up, putting a foundation under them. And because it, without a foundation, they were worth one price point, but with a foundation, because many more potential purchasers could buy it because financing came into play, they would do that improvement and then turn around and sell it with a foundation underneath it. Not necessarily. It did a little bit of improvement to the house to make it more livable, but the most important thing and the financial expense was putting that foundation underneath it. So when you're out there and you're looking at it, you know, and as you're getting frustrated, just be really, really mindful of fixers and really go to the far end, you know, that it's going to be cute and it's going to be all that, but what's it going to take you to get there is very, very important, because you don't want to be upside down in the property. Even if it's financeable, if you're upside down in the property, it creates a real difficult situation, because if you need to move or you need to do something and you can't, it's like, you know, buying a boat and then deciding you don't, and financing it and then deciding you don't want it the next week. All of a sudden you realize that paying off the loan is more than you'll get for the boat when you go to sell it. Well, the same thing can happen in a piece of real estate. If you put in, you know, granite countertops and, you know, all kinds of things that you really like that were really, really expensive, and because you thought you were going to live there forever, and then in short order you're not going to live there forever, you may not get the money back, recoup that money that you invested in all of those improvements. There we go. Wow, something in the face isn't working today. What else do I want to talk about here today? We talked about utilities. Well, what else did I have? I had something that was kind of fun here. Well, I guess what I'll talk about, this one isn't really fun, is the systems development charges. You know, I talked about that this last week. And then the other one that is up for discussion, and maybe we'll be able to get into it next week, the gentleman that shared a lot of information. He really did a lot of research on the transportation utility fee. And, you know, the conclusion, I don't want to steal the punchline, but the conclusion was that maybe the city's being a little bit less than forthright. And how was that? Sam? Yeah, who would have guessed that? You know, it's a little tactful, but you know, and we'll be able to get into that and build that. But one of the other things that was actually a component of that, it was the systems development charges. And at the top of the show, when I was talking about how the Homeowners Association, Home Builders Association, has been really active in the systems development charges, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do was just sort of read to you some of the improvements on this, and just to kind of give you an idea. I did some basic math this week when I was attending a meeting, and it was really pretty amazing. And the one that I recommended that people talk about was this one here. It's two pages. That's the reason why I couldn't find it. Yeah, the medical and dental offices. This will just give you some idea of how ridiculous this is. Okay, so currently, the systems development charge are charged on 1,000 square feet of improvement. So currently, if you were going to open a new medical office, you would pay a systems development fee of $15,060 per 1,000 square feet. So let's just say that you decided to have it be small, but you're going to have a 3,000 square foot office space. Okay. Well, that 3,000 square foot office space and nothing else, none of your equipment, none of your painting, none of what we call tenant improvements, none of that sort of thing, you would have to pay the state, the city, the $45,000. It'd be $15,000 times 3,000 feet, so there's three of those, so that'd be $45,000 would be what the systems development fees. The proposal in this is that would be increased by 262% to $39,382 per square foot, so right at $40,000 per square foot. There's three of those, so that goes to $120,000. Now, mind you, this is $120,000 so that you can open a medical, dental, or veterinarian clinic that's 3,000 square feet in dimension, that you receive nothing for that. And so an awful lot of businesses, particularly a lot of independent businesses, when they're trying to do their startup, money's tight. And they have to go in and they have to buy, you know, cabinetry and office furniture and some trade fixtures and equipment. You know, may need some special lighting for their operating room or whatever it may be that they need to have. So there's huge expenses in their tenant improvements and their equipment that they're bringing in. And then the city says, well, yeah, normally we only charge you $45,000 for building this size, but we're going to increase that to $120,000. And these fees don't have to get taken to the public. We don't have to vote on them. The one that was like totally, totally over the top, there it is, was furniture stores. Now, furniture stores are big. Okay? I mean, you can't put much furniture on display in a 1,000-square-foot space. So then you find people that are coming into your showroom so that they can thumb through catalogs with you so that you can do it, instead of walking into a furniture store where you can look at things side by side and say, yeah, I'll take that one. Okay? So currently, to do a furniture store, it's $1,393 per 1,000 square feet. Okay? So, gosh, I don't know how big you want to do it. Do you want to make it a 10,000 square foot furniture store? That's a pretty good size furniture store. You could do 5,000 square feet, I guess. Well, if I do 10,000 square feet, it's easier for me because I can do the math in my head. That's $1,400 per square foot. So $1,400 per square foot times 10 is $14,000. Okay? So it costs $14,000. That's what it is currently. So the proposal now is to move that to $31,693 per square foot. So for a 10,000 square foot furniture store, that number would go up to $316,000 in systems development charges, which is a 2,275% increase in systems development charges. And it's kind of one of those where you look at it and you kind of go, well, you know, trending, everything ought to be in that, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 range as far as percentages of increase. And all of a sudden it's like there were a number of these that were 200-300% increases on fees that are already high. And then you realize that there's taxes, there's bonds, there's fees, there's a transportation utility fund, there's systems development charges, and they're hiring more people down there and buying new equipment. It's pretty darn amazing what's going on. So maybe next week we'll be able to get into that tough a little bit deeper so that you kind of understand how that money's being allocated and what their programs are. You can always contact me. Please do. AskFredJohnson.com or just send me an email direct. And it's just simply Fred@DukeWarner.com. I'd be happy to get you any information, or if you've heard me talk about or a reference an article here and you'd like to have a copy of that, don't hesitate to give me a call. I'd be more than glad to forward it on to you, and I will not solicit you. So until next week, get out there, make some memories, and thank you so much for tuning in to Talk Real Estate with Fred Johnson here on FM News 100, 1110 KBND.